God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. By the same Spirit, a different person is given faith. The same Spirit gives healing to another. To another, powers to do miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Paul's list continues with another 7 gifts for a total of 9. The list is grouped in Paul's Greek into 3 lists. First, wisdom and knowledge. That was verse 8. Second, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, and distinguishing of spirits, which is the middle part. And then finally, in verse 10, tongues and interpreting tongues. Almost all of these involve communication of some kind. The list isn't exhaustive. Other gifts could have been added, such as David's remarkable and miraculous gift of music that soothed Paul's troubled spirit, 1 Samuel 16. Joseph's gift for understanding and interpreting dreams in Genesis 41:38. The spirit-given ability of craftsmanship given to the man Bezalel in Exodus 31:2. Or the spirit's gift of war and judgeship given to so many of Israel's judges in Judges 3, 6, 11, 13, and so on. But it's no accident that Paul lists tongues and interpreting tongues last in the list he gives here. Before we touch on this, we can say at least a little about each gift. First, faith. This is not saving faith, since it's listed as a special charismatic gift. Instead, this must be the faith that has the ability to do miracles. In Matthew 17, the 9 apostles are unable to drive out a demon, although they had been given the very gift earlier by Jesus in Matthew 10:8. But in this case, their, we have to say, secret doubt or unbelief frustrated their ability, and they could not do it, which gave Jesus yet another teaching moment with them about true faith, a faith that can move mountains, as Paul says actually here in chapter 13. The next two, healing gifts and miracles, are similar. Paul displayed healing gifts at various times, including his shipwreck on Malta in Acts 28, and the same is true of other miracles, such as when he was able to shake off a poisonous and deadly viper that had fastened onto his hand. Prophecy is a gift that was especially common in the Old Testament. There were, of course, all of the prophets, but those prophets especially who preached God's word, and those who prayed, and those who foretold future events. Distinguishing between spirits is something that John warns all Christians to do in 1 John 4, 1-3, but Paul is talking about the miraculous ability to know a spirit without testing, or without testing at first, I should say, as a mechanic might know what's wrong with a car without a complete diagnosis, just by experience. Speaking in different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are discussed more in chapter 14. Is the gift here something different than the gift displayed by the 12 apostles at Pentecost in Acts 2, and again in Ephesus with 12 men who were baptized by Paul in Acts 19? There are different ideas about what Paul means by speaking in different kinds of tongues here, but if we remain only within the scriptures for our understanding, we will avoid many errors and notions that, of course, contradict the Bible. First, there is a question whether the tongues spoken on Pentecost are the same as those mentioned here. Some commentators, like Lenski, insist that they have to be the same, and there are no times in the Bible when a Bible writer goes out of his way to say this kind of tongues and not that kind of tongues. Second, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:22 that tongues are a sign not for the believer, but for unbelievers. Professor Joel Gerlach of our seminary concludes, tongues offer an evidence or sign of something objective, not something subjective. God filled individuals with the Spirit and gave them the gift of tongues, not so much as a sign to the individual who did the speaking, but rather for those who heard the speaking. In all three instances in Acts, and this would be Acts 2 and then Acts 10:46 and Acts 19:6, that makes sense. Third, the terms used by the holy writers are these: other tongues, heterice glossais, Acts 2:4, tongues, simply glossais, in Acts 10 and 19, and again in 1 Corinthians, kinds of tongues, which is gene glosson, 1 Corinthians 12:28, interpretation of tongues, hermeneia glosson, 1 Corinthians 12:10, and strange tongues, heteroglossois, in 1 Corinthians 14:21. There is no textual warrant for the familiar but misleading translation, unknown tongues, in six verses of chapter 14 in the Old King James Version. And fourth, in Mark 16:17, Jesus prophesies about new tongues with the words glossais kainais, but since this is a prophecy and not an explanation or a description, it seems unwise to set too heavy a meaning on the word new without taking all the other passages above into consideration. We'll have more to say about tongues and their interpretation in chapter 14. Each of these gifts was a special gift of the Holy Spirit. Our culture has a hard time understanding the true nature of a gift, since we tend to, you know, ask for presents at Christmas time and at birthdays, fully expecting to get what we ask for. But the gifts of God are gifts that He knows we need, not gifts we necessarily wish for or ask for. Use whatever gift you have and serve your Savior Jesus. In the end, for anyone to accept His lot and be happy in His work, this is a gift of God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.